بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's okay إبراهيم. It's okay. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us innumerable favors. From amongst these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the most precious favors is life and time, or time and life. Life is time and time is life. What is life? Life is time. And what is time? Time is life. And how can a person waste his life? By wasting time. So the person who wastes his time wastes his life. And the person who values time who is very, very careful as to where he spends his time, he will never waste his life. So one of the greatest lessons that we need to learn for success in this world and also in the hereafter is to realize the value of time and thereafter to value time. Majority of us, we are not talking about those people who are seen by people as irreligious. We are talking about people who are labeled as religious, who are defined as religious, who are categorized as religious. People like us who come into the masjid, who spend time in the masjid, who engage in tilawat, who engage in zikr, who engage in learning and teaching. When people see the likes of us, then they reach this conclusion that these are religious people. So those people who are irreligious, I am not talking about them. Majority of the so-called religious people do not realize the value of time and they do not value time. It is only by utilizing the time correctly we will be deserving of Jannat. It is only by utilizing the time correctly we will be deserving of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only by utilizing the time correctly we will be able to secure death with Iman, Husn Khatima. When we take part in programs such as these. One of the benefits of these programs is we realize the value of time and we learn how to value time. Because we have a set routine prepared by ulama, prepared by mashayikh, and we follow that set routine. And if we strictly adhere to the timetable, after 24 hours, or after 2 days, after 3 days, whatever number of days, whatever number of hours we spend in spiritual gatherings, in spiritual environment, under the supervision of ulama, mashayikh, we will come to this conclusion that alhamdulillah, I have spent my last 24 hours correctly without wasting moments. And then when we compare the rest of our lives with these 24 hours, or with such 24 hours, or with such time that we have spent in good mahol, good environment, then we will very quickly realize that I need to learn to manage time. Because I am not managing my time. Those people who live their lives as and when, tilawat as and when, zikr as and when, sleep as and when, no set routine, Saturday, Sunday, free days, no work, no college, no university, no school, no madrasa. So as and when. When can I see you? When can I talk to you about this matter? Inshallah, I'll let you know when I wake up. Then we'll talk. No fixed time. We sleep as and when, and we wake up as and when. And when we have no fixed routine, then there is no boundary on the nafs. Setting a routine is a very strong boundary, very strong fence for the nafs. You have a set routine to go to sleep at 11 p.m. daily, including Saturday, including Sunday. When you need to go to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you sleep at 11 o'clock. But when you are free on Saturday, Sunday, you don't sleep at 11 o'clock. So the routine is not there. We have to have a routine even during our holidays. Why? Because we don't have to go to work, we have to wake up and perform Fajr. So why is Fajr not important? Is Fajr not as important as work? If we sleep at 11, we will be able to wake up for Fajr. We would have completed our sleep. So after Fajr, we can start the day. On a Saturday morning, on a Sunday morning, especially when everybody is asleep, 2-3 hours of quality time when you can recite the Quran, when you can do zikr, when you can meditate, when you can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua. So the very first thing we all need to do is to understand the value of time and thereafter value time. It should be automatic. As soon as we understand the value of time, we should be able to value time. But no, it's not automatic. Even after understanding the value of time, people nowadays don't value time. When we go to third world countries, go to a village in Pakistan, go to a village in India, Africa, Bangladesh, where they fill water in tanks. So they have a very large tank and the water is filled in the morning, in the afternoon. They have waterworks system. So they get water for a limited number of hours. 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. So the water work starts. The water starts coming and you have to fill your tank. And once that allocated time lapses, then you have to do with the water that is in the tank. So everybody knows that from 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the evening, this is all the water that we have. So when people perform wudu in their homes from the tap, they don't perform wudu like we do here. That we are washing one limb. And after washing one limb, when we are doing something else, miswak, maybe the water is flowing. No. From the tap, they take out water in utensils, so they don't waste water. When people are washing their hands, they don't stop washing the hand and start talking to somebody for a while. And if somebody does, other people reprimand them. You are wasting water. Close the tap. Here in this country we have unlimited water. There they have limited water. So we are not worried. Unlimited water. Whether water is limited or unlimited, it is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we waste it, we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that even if you perform wudu at the bank of the river, at the bank of the lake, even then don't waste water. That means don't use more than you require, even at the bank of the river. You will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So water, wherever we use water, we should use it wisely. Sometimes the ladies at home, they are washing utensils. And suddenly they have to attend to somebody. Attend to a child, attend to something that is cooking. They will very quickly wash the hand and leave the tap running and go. And rush to the child, rush to the cooker. Unlimited. Unlimited, no value. This was in brackets. Whether water is limited or unlimited, we have to use it wisely. It is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on the day of Qiyamah. The point that I was trying to emphasize was that in this country, water is unlimited. Everything is limited in this country. But as far as the excessive water that we are blessed with, so unlimited, never shortage of water. And in those remote places, third world countries, in villages, water is limited. So we are not careful, they are careful. Water is unlimited in this country, so we are not careful. There it is limited, so they are careful. This water needs to carry on and fulfill our needs until the evening. We have limited water, so be careful how you use it. Anything that is limited is always used wisely. I am a rich person, I have ample money, I have gone for Umrah. So I will get into the cab first, I will get into the taxi first, and then I will ask him whilst the driver is driving how much it's going to cost. Or I may not even ask. I will get off and he will say that 200 riyal, here 200, because I have ample money. I'm not worried. Unlimited access to money. And you have another person who is a student studying in a college, in a university, and somehow he accumulated enough money just to go for Umrah. So before he gets into the cab, he will ask, how much? Person with unlimited wealth, unlimited resources, will not use his resources wisely. And people with limited resources will use it wisely. The question is our life unlimited or limited? Is our time in this world unlimited or limited? It's limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to use this limited resource and purchase the needs of the hereafter. So we need to be very, very careful as to how we use this resource. How we use this asset. How we use this commodity. Because if we don't use it wisely, then when we are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, we may be penniless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may say to us that you have not purchased any good for your abode in Jannah. So there is not a single brick in Jannah. All the goods you are purchasing in the world through the commodity of time that I had given you, you are purchasing for your abode in the fire of Jahannam. Whenever we do something, if I sit with Mufti Sahib for half an hour, and I talk about ilm, I talk about fiqh, I ask certain important questions that are related to my life, that I need guidance on, then I have utilized this commodity of half an hour time in purchasing the goods that will construct a house for me in Jannat. And may Allah save all of us, if I was to spend that half an hour, in doing something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, backbiting, slandering, unlawful gazes, any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that half an hour, I have used this commodity of half an hour time to buy goods, as a result of which a house will be constructed for me in the fire of Jahannam. I am buying goods to build a house in the fire of Jahannam. And the third scenario, I sit with Mufti Sahib for half an hour and both of us engage in activity, in talking about things that is mubah, that is permissible, but it is not rewarding in the hereafter. So it is not a means of punishment in the hereafter, and it is not a means of reward in the hereafter, which in the Shari'i terminology is called la yani, something that neither benefits in this world nor the hereafter. So I engage in la yani, and we talk about something which may even benefit in this world but not the hereafter. So I have wasted that time, because although I have not spent that time in constructing a home in the fire of Jahannam, but neither did I use that half an hour in constructing something in Jannah for me. So we need to understand the value of time. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, La dara lil mar'i ba'dal mawte yaskunuha illa allati kanat qabla al mawte yabniha fa in banaha bi khayrin taaba maskanuhu wa in banaha bi sharrin khaba baniha. There is no house for a person in which he can reside after death. There is no house, there is no tree. Jannat is barren land. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the night of Mi'raj, and he said, convey my salam to your ummah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Convey my salam to your ummah. What a great honor for us. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is conveying salam to us through Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desired that the ummah benefits from this salam, then through sound chain of narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this hadith reach the ummah even today. So for the past more than 1400 years, the ulama are mentioning this hadith to the ummah, and the fortunate ones are acquiring this dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. May the peace of Allah be upon you. Alayhi wa ala nabiyyina as-salatu wassalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings and mercies and peace upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam. And after that He said, tell your ummah that Jannah is a barren land. So the plot that is allocated for me, it's barren. There is nothing there. It's barren land. There is nothing there. And when a person says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants a tree for him. If he says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, twice, Allah plants two trees. If a person says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar thrice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants three trees. Now the choice is yours and mine. How many plants do we want to see in our garden in Jannah? And And if the garden is very large, then the mansion will be very large as well. You don't have a very large garden with a small house. It is for this reason each person is advised to read Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar at least 100 times daily. This is how you manage your time. This is how you utilize your time. That in 24 hours, prepare a timetable and prepare activities. Realistic activities. Reading the third kalima 100 times daily is a realistic target. Reading istighfar 100 times daily is a realistic target. It's possible even for a busy person. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Reading Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Durush Sharif, 300 times. A realistic target. Even if somebody is busy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if a person is not busy, then he can read the best formulae. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Salat ala Nabi is dhikr. Istighfar is dhikr. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar is dhikr. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is dhikr. Ghaflat and negligence. Ghaflat and negligence is the root of all calamities. Because when a person is ghafil, when his heart becomes negligent of his duties towards his creator, he can never carry out any good. And he cannot abstain from any evil. Because he is negligent. The more the negligence, the more the calamity. And through the dhikr of the tongue and the dhikr of the heart and mind, one is able to remove negligence. If the heart is filled with ghafla, the mind is filled with ghafla, negligence, the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never enters the heart and the mind. Then how will a person think about the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the questioning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reckoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? He cannot think about it. So the heart that is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be able to find peace. Because it is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it will have all the evils within it. And the person with such a heart will always disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the filth of his wrongdoings will set on his heart. So he will not be able to find peace. And the way to remind the heart and mind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to utter his name through the tongue. I and Muawiyah have a friend, a third friend. There are 3 of us. And this third friend has passed away. And it is 10 years after he has passed away, and Muawiyah has forgotten him for a very long time now. Out of sight, out of mind. And suddenly, I say to Muawiyah that I am remembering Ahmad very much today. I am remembering Ahmad very much today. And Muawiyah says, Jazakallah for reminding me about Ahmad. I had forgotten him for the past so many months. Even his thought did not cross my mind. My uttering the name of Ahmad removed the negligence from the heart and mind of Muawiyah in regard to Ahmad. When we utter the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through our tongues, it removes the ghaflat of the heart and mind. Muawiyah keeps forgetting Ahmad, and I keep mentioning Ahmad. Will he forget? I keep mentioning Ahmad. Every hour I say to him, Ahmad, he was a very good friend of ours. Ahmad like this, Ahmad like this. He will never be able to forget. If we keep uttering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongue, ghaflat will never set on our heart and mind. And if I keep mentioning the name of Ahmad, 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 after 1 week, after 1 month, I will not even have to mention it to Muawiyah. It's set in his heart and mind now. So whether I utter the name of Ahmad or not, it is set in his mind now. In order to purify the heart, we need to do two things. Stay away from wrong company and wrong environment, and stay in good company and good environment. Number one. Good environment and good company. Masjid is a good environment, but you are sitting with somebody who is not good company. You are talking to somebody who is not good company. You have a good friend, good company, but both of you are sitting in a pub. Sooner or later, the environment of the pub will have an effect on both of you. So good company and good environment. We need to keep away from bad company and bad environment, and stay in good company and good environment. And from amongst the good companies, the company of the mashayikh, the very pious people. It is the most beneficial for us. So we need to find the majalis of the mashayikh, shuyukh, pious people. And we need to go in those majalis with a yearning to acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yearning to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yearning to become like the person we are visiting. The pious person we are visiting. And we need to feel needy. I am needy. I am desperate. As far as the hereafter is concerned, I am poor. I am destitute. And I badly need something from this person. This person is wealthy as far as the hereafter is concerned. So stay away from wrong environment and wrong company, and stay in good environment and good company, especially the company of the mashayikh, the pious people, the pious ulama. And number two, in order to purify the soul, purify the heart, we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. While sitting, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. While driving the car, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Very short. The azkar our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught are so beautiful, so short. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Kalimatan regarding these two phrases. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kalimatan. There are two sentences. Habibatan ilar Rahman. They are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. There are two phrases, two sentences which Allah loves. So should we not excessively utter and say those things which Allah loves? We have a young child at home, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, very cute. And we want to attract the attention of this child, and there is something that the child likes. We utter that word over and over again to attract that child. So in order to attract the attention of Rahman Ta'ala, should we not utter those words which attract his mercy, which attract his attention, which is beloved to him? Kalimatani, there are two sentences. Kalima here means kalam. There are two sentences. Habibatani ilar Rahman, which are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. Khafifatani alal lisan, easy on the tongue, very light on the tongue. Saqilatani fil mizan, heavy in the mizan, heavy in the scale. And what are they? All of you? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah. 100 times, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah. So we need to manage our time. And we will be able to manage our time if we set activities. We return from school at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. We return from university 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Asar is at 8 o'clock. We have no set activities between 4 and 8. Okay, I return from university, school, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and I go to sleep. Alhamdulillah. You are neither doing any good nor doing anything bad. Alhamdulillah. Or if you sleep with this intention that I have Asar, thereafter Maghrib, thereafter Isha, and I may go to sleep before Isha if I don't rest now because I woke up early in the morning. So I want to lie down for a while, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, so I'm able to perform Asar Salat, Maghrib Salat and Isha Salat. And also I am able to wake up for Fajr with ease. Then the 2 hours that you are spending in sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. It is ibadat for you now. You can make this intention also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep in the afternoon. Afternoon nap. Qailula. And I am unable to because I am in college, university. So this is the earliest opportunity I have. Let me lie down for a while. Sunnah. Now it becomes ibadat. So number one, we have to learn to value time. Understand the value and we need to value time. Utilize time correctly. Because Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says, لَا دَارَ لِلْمَرِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ يَسْكُنُهَا. After death there is no home for a person in which he can reside. إِلَّا الَّتِي كَانَتْ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ يَبْنِيهَا. But that house which he constructs in this world before death. And how can we construct the home in the hereafter? By valuing time and doing good. If we do evil, we will be constructing our home in the fire of Jahannam. فَإِنْ بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ تَعْبَ مَسْكَنُهُ. If he constructs his house through bricks of khair, through good amal, through good deeds, تَعْبَ مَسْكَنُهُ, then his home will be very nice because his home will be in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will construct homes for the believers, one brick of silver and another brick of gold. And the cement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use will be of musk. وَإِن بَنَهَا بِشَرِّن خَابَ بَانِهَا. If a person was to construct his home in the hereafter through evil deeds, he does not value his time, he utilizes his time in doing bad, doing evil, backbiting, evil glances, so many other filthy things that people do. خَابَ بَانِهَا. Then this person will become a loser in the hereafter. Why? Because he is constructing his home in the fire of Jahannam. So alhamdulillah, those of us who have been granted the sheer tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come in his home for the next more than 24 hours are very, very fortunate. And many of you have come for the whole month, alhamdulillah. A person cannot enter my home without my permission, without my invitation. A person cannot just barge in my house and say, I'm going to reside here for the next 24 hours. Without my invitation, that please stay the night here, spend the night here. A person cannot spend. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only that person can spend moments in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of us have been invited for the whole month, some of us for a few days, some of us for the next more than 24 hours, and some have come for the Zuhar Salat, that is also by invitation, alhamdulillah. If we are granted the tawfiq to spend a good portion of our life, many moments in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come for all 5 times salat, we come moments before salat, we remain moments after salat, it is a sign that Allah loves us. That is why He is inviting us over and over again. It is a sign. And as a result of this sign that Allah loves me, we should also endeavor to love Him. We should reciprocate by obeying Him. So our coming into the masjid and spending the whole day, inshallah, will be one of the highlights of our life on the day of Qiyamah. So let us value these 24 hours, and let us learn to value each and every second of our lives. Let us not waste this very, very useful commodity. And let us make a firm resolution that we want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will not be my first endeavor towards the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather this is the beginning of the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will carry on with this journey until I become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until I acquire His pleasure, until I become His, until He becomes mine. In order to do that, we need to frequent the gatherings of the ulama and learn from them. Learn halal, haram, jaiz, not jaiz, permissible, impermissible, sunnah, mustahab, makruh. And after learning from them what Allah is pleased with, we carry out those things. And after learning from them what displeases Allah, we abstain from those things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to spend as much time as possible in his houses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to frequently visit the Haramain Sharifain with love, with reverence and with etiquettes of the Haramain Sharifain. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that life which He is pleased with, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that departure and that death with which He is pleased. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.